Okay, hello, am I on? We're missing a child here, so. I'll call you up after. Well, good morning, church. It's great to be here this morning. It's great to celebrate 35 years of Awana ministry, how God's been so faithful in this church. Sarah, I just want to thank you so much for coming in and bringing your fabulous team just to share with us what God's been doing, not only in the Awana ministry, but in the ministry all over the world working with children. So thank you so much, Sarah. Appreciate that. I have a question for you guys. How many of you have ever, when you were a child or a youth, had your life changed by the direction of an adult? That adult just kind of changed the discourse of your life. I remember when I was a youth, I was in high school, and I didn't do very well in school. That might surprise some of you, but I struggled through high school. And I remember my English teacher, she taught me English 30 and English 20, and she took me aside. She's like, Rod, I will help you with any subject you need help with, because I want to see you graduate. I want to see you finish school. And I looked, and I'm like, really? You'll help me with all my subjects? So I took her up on the offer. Here I was, bringing my books in after school. And I'm like, here's my math. And she'd help me with my math. The next day, here's my biology. The next day, I'd be like, okay, here's physics, and so on, so on. And so she would take the time to help me out of her own time and teaching me subjects that had nothing to do with her. She's my English teacher. But she really understood what was time to invest in someone young. Like Mrs. Swan, each of us has the potential to mold someone and to influence them. And if we take that and filter a spiritual element to that, can you imagine what a world would be like? This sermon message is titled Discipling the Next Generation. And this is more than about Awana. This is about everybody, if you're Awana or not. It's about discipling the next generation. So the passage, so let's just pray together before we dive into the scriptures. Gracious God, you are good, good God, Lord. We thank you so much for the way that your Holy Spirit's moving into the next generation, God. We just pray for the next generation right now, Lord. We pray for the children and youth, Lord. We pray that you'd raise them up, Lord, to do amazing things for you, God. And we understand, Lord, that Awana is just one piece of that puzzle, God. And Lord, we just really pray, God, that you would raise this church up just to invest in the young generation that we have right now, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we're going to dive into Joshua chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. I like to read from the NIV, so that's the one we're going to roll with. We're going to start from verses 2 to 7. It says, choose 12 men from among, so Joshua, God's talking to Joshua here. Choose 12 men from among the people, one from the tribe, from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where they stay tonight. So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, go over before and ask the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone and on his shoulder, and according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do the stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before, and ask and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. I just want to give you a backstory of this. Here we have the Israelites, and Moses dies, so Joshua has taken the helm of leading the Israelites into the promised land, and they are right there, right at the brink of the promised land. They can see the land of Canaan right across the Jordan River. To put some terminology into it, it's like you're playing a football game and you're right at the end zone. You can just sense the end. But we have one last obstacle, and that's the Jordan River. And God tells them, I want you to pick one person from every tribe and pick up a stone. I can see these guys picking up the biggest stone they can. I want you to carry it to the banks and place it where you're both to sleep, because that stone is a memorial to remind you of the goodness and faithfulness that God has done for us. And what it is, when people pass on and they're walking with their families and they say, Dad, what's that stone? Or Mom, what are those stones for? They can say, you know what? This is the time when we were at the promised land and God parted the Jordan River. This is the time I remember when we were slaves in Egypt for 400 years and Moses delivered us. This is the time when we were hungry in the desert and God provided us fresh manna. Those stones were meant to worship. It was a reminder for us that God is faithful. And why did they have to build a stone, a memorial stone? Because we forget things. You can ask my wife, I forget to pick up my socks. I forget to take out the garbage. We forget things. And she has an alarm system on her phone to remind her. It dings all day. Ding, 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 ding. But she doesn't forget things. But we tend to forget things. That's why God said, build a stone to remind you of the goodness and the faithfulness that I have done for you. Today, we celebrate 35 years of Awana, a ministry that is all about building these stones. Let's look at the principles from Awana. There's 5 different principles. I'll try to get through them all. I ordered the pizza at 11:45, so if we're late, my wife is going to pay for it. But I'm going to try to get through the 5 principles and how these principles are building memorial stones in our children's life. The first principle is Awana teaches that the God... Now, if I'm wrong, sorry, you have to run up and correct me. So the first principle is that the gospel of Christ, we have to teach it clearly, guys. We have to teach the gospel of Christ clearly. And the gospel is the centerpiece of the Awana ministry. We teach the Awana minister, the gospel so clearly. We tell kids that we are all sinners. And what does sin mean? Kids, do you know? Oh, I've been a bad teacher. Kids, it's anything we say, think, or do that displeases God, right? Anything that we say, think, or do that makes God sad. And our sin separates us from God. And God loved us so much that he knew that we needed a Savior. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the place of our sin. And if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he comes into our life and he'll be our forever friend. The Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. And Jesus didn't stay on the cross, but they took him off the cross and they buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again so that if we put our faith that we can one day be with him if we trust in him. The gospel is so simple. And Awana uses a gospel wheel. We use the evangel cube. There's many different ways to share the gospel, but we got to make it a clear way that kids understand. Are we speaking to kids in a clear way about the gospel? Are we making it a memorial stone that they will remember? Will one day a child that we disciple say, I remember that time when you told me about the gospel and I accepted the Lord as my Savior. We have kids come to Christ every single year in our Awana ministry, faithfully every single year. We share the gospel message, and they respond every single year. The second principle of Awana is that we need to engage children in a memory and discipleship. And I know that Awana pushes a lot of emphasis on memorization, but it's not the end all and be all. I think of Awana as a church for kids. It's a time where they can get together, they can fellowship with each other, and the memory part is just one piece of it. But why is it important? Psalm 119, verses 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when we are faced with trials and temptations, and we're all going to be there, that God will bring up that passage in our heart at the very right moment. For me, I cling to 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. When I'm struggling in life, that verse just comes to me over and over again. Cast all your anxiety onto me because I care for you. And that's the great thing about Awana, is that it teaches kids to hide God's word into your heart. And then when you're faced with trials and temptations, those passages will just come to you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, reminds me that all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that's what we do in Awana, is we teach kids and we train them. And I just want to give you an example of the fruits of the ministry, of the Awana ministry. Laura, can you come help me up for a minute here? Sorry, I kind of put you at the last spot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up these two tables here. And Laura, if you could set up one for me. And we're going to play a game here just to demonstrate the fruits of the Awana ministry. And have you guys heard of the game, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? We're going to play a game, Are You Smarter Than a Awana Kid? And I thought it would be fun to say, Are You Smarter Than a Awana Kid? Why don't we do it? Are you smarter than an ordained pastor? So come on up, Pastor Mark Houghton and Pastor Barrett. We're going to have some competition here. So I thought it'd be fun. I'm going to read the questions, and you guys get this table, the pastors get this table, and Miss Laura is going to have the mic here. And Miss Laura, what I want you to do is when they ring the bell first, you pass the mic. All right, thank you, Miss Laura. So, are you guys ready? Pastor Mark, you guys sweating some bullets here? Okay, so those of you guys don't know, this is Rachel, this is Jedediah, and this is Zeke. All right, so, first question, you guys ready? Oh, no. Okay, we're going to do some Bible memory verses. So that our administrator made that picture of me. I didn't know anything about it. So. All right, 1 John 4:14 says, what does it say? You can ring the bell if you want. I can give you a hint.
Give the first word.
Okay, and we have seen and testify that the Father, that we have seen and testified that the Father, 1 John 4:14. You know what? You can ring the bell. Pastors, you know what?
Okay.
We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay, we'll try again.
Okay,
so this is fill in the blank. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be blank. Okay, Miss Laura.
Redeemed.
No.
Saved.
All right, saved. Okay. Pastor Mark, I don't know what version you're reading, but okay. Ephesians, no, we're not going to do that one. Romans 8, 1. Okay, what does it say?
Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
All right, Romans 8, 1. Good job, good job.
Well done.
Okay, how are we doing here? I think I'm going to get a demotion after this. They'll stick me with the kids forever. Okay. All right. Ephesians 4:32. What does that say? I'll give you the two words. Be kind.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as Christ and God forgave you.
Good job.
Works.
Okay. All right. All right. This is a good one. Everyone should get this one. Philippians 1:6. This is a famous verse. Philippians 1:6.
You good? Ding it.
Yeah.
He who began a good work in you will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus.
It's a question.
Yeah. I'll paraphrase it. That's right. Good job. Good job. Ephesians 6:2. Kids, you should get this. This is every parent's life verse. Ephesians 6:2.
Ding it.
Honor.
Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise.
I love that verse. Okay, James 4:8.
James 4:8.
We'd like to call a friend.
Call a friend, okay. Call a friend.
No? Is that a thing?
I'll give you the first word. Come near to God. Come near to God. Come near to God. And he will come near to you. I think the congregation's got it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's, this one we should all get. James 4:10.
Do you know it?
Humble yourself.
Humble yourself and then he'll lift you up.
Okay, humble yourself before the Lord.
Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Jedediah. Fred and Constance, my goodness. Okay. You should try teaching these kids in Sunday school. It's So let's do some Bible knowledge.
Okay, get ready, guys.
Okay, we're not going to do memorization. What does it mean that God is just? A, oh, okay.
He's B,
you can't
he's
read.
Always fair,
yeah.
He does not pick favorites.
Huh? Is
B.
It B? Good job. B. Okay, what book comes after Proverbs?
Sorry, you've had a lot.
No, they don't have to face you guys. They're going to kick some
butt. Ecclesiastes?
All right, Woo! Ecclesiastes. Good job. What is the first book of the Bible?
Is that you?
Genesis.
Laura, you know what? We actually should turn them around at the beginning because they're getting all the answers now. So, what is the last book of the Bible? No, they're fighting over it.
Revelation.
Good job. What book comes before Revelation? Oh, guys.
Jude. Jude.
Jude, that's right, Jude. Okay, Pastor Mark Helton should know this one because he just preached from it. What is the shortest book of the New Testament?
Do you guys actually know that?
Yes!
Third John.
All right.
14 verses.
Good job, Third John. Okay, let's do some multiple choice. How many books?
Okay, come this way.
Game and how many books? Oh, yeah, they were on the right track. Okay. How many books are in the Bible?
Whoa.
66.
Yeah. Is that right, Pastor? How many books are in the Old Testament?
39.
Good job.
Come on. They're making you look bad.
How many books are in the New Testament?
27.
Oh, 27. Okay, so, guys, I want the kids to do this. I'll just spare you. So, I want someone to tell me the books of the New Testament. Okay, I'm going to get Zeke to do it. Okay, listen to Zeke.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelations.
Good job.
Wait.
Okay. Who wants to try the Old Testament? Okay, Rachel, go for it.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalm of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Obadiah,
It's a tough one.
Haggai. Habakkuk.
Okay, yeah. Keep going.
Zephaniah. Malachi.
That's good. That's pretty good. So, do you guys want to try? All right, thank you. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you so much. Thanks, guys. So, Awana is a very fruitful ministry. Our church have done Awana. We used to do Coveys right up until grade 12 to Journey. If they complete the Awana program, they would have memorized 800 verses and read the Bible twice. That is absolutely incredible. Now, another principle of Awana is building lasting relationships. Discipleship is relational, not just informational. Our Awana leaders care deeply about our kids. They show up consistently every single Tuesday, and we do 28 to 30 weeks a year. Jesus modeled this beautifully. He says, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Matthew 19:14. It just reminds me of when I was young, my family, we always lived in a small house. We had these big family dinners. And the adults had one table and the children had another. I remember sitting at the little kids' table. I just wanted to sit at the big people's table. But Jesus' table is for everybody, even children. He invites everybody to his table. There's no junior Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit dwells within the Awana children, within the children in the church, just as much he does with adults. And he equipped them with spiritual gifts too. And it's our job as adults is to foster those gifts and help those kids to use their gifts to build the kingdom of God. I remember during COVID, we had some barriers with Awana ministry, but the volunteers picked it up so fast that they would go on Zoom with the kids. And you have to understand, we do Awana for an hour and a half every Tuesday night. And these people, these faithful volunteers would schedule Zoom meetings for every child and every family, 15 minutes per family. And they would be doing them 2 to 3 nights a week. 2 to 3 nights a week, they'd be on Zoom mentoring and discipling these children and their families. They were so committed to the ministry and seeing their kids grow in Christ. The fourth principle is we need to create a safe and joyful space for growth. Kids need to feel safe and loved in order to grow spiritually. Jesus wasn't annoyed by kids. He welcomed them. Awana does the same. We have such a good time in Awana. There's a proverb that says, Proverbs 15:13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of a heart, the spirit is crushed. And we have a glad heart every Tuesday night. And we try to make the Tuesday nights fun. And we have a major event every year. We do everything from a Grand Prix where they build a race car and they race it down the track. And Dory does hot dogs for us every single year, the concession. And we have a tropical night in January where we have shorts and sunglasses and order Hawaiian pizza, and it's minus 40 outside. But we have a great time in Awana. We try to make it exciting and engaging. The fifth principle that Awana shares is we like to partner with families and churches, and this is key to the discipleship process. Proverbs 22:6 says, start a child off in the way that she should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Discipleship takes a team, parents, leaders, and churches. God didn't design parents to raise their children in faith alone. We are here to support and walk with each other. Every child needs to be trained. And what does that proverb mean? That means that there needs to be an outcome. There needs to be a goal. And some parents have the wrong idea of a goal for their child's life. They're like, I want my child to be the best hockey player they can be. I want my child to be the best dancer they can be. But those things don't last for eternity. We should want our children to follow and love Jesus Christ. That should be the goal. That's what it means to raise a child in the Lord. As Christian parents are it also equips the children to share their faith with others. I remember when my children were young and they were in Sparks. Every year, my dad would get a phone call to share the gospel. He'd hear the gospel every year because it's part of the Awana program. Share your faith with someone else. And they do it in Sparks, they do it in TNT, and it teaches kids to share the gospel with others. And every year, my dad would, you know, he would be gracious, he'd talk to them and hear the gospel every single year. But that's what Awana does. It teaches kids to share their faith and live their faith outside these four walls. How are you supporting families in your community? And I just want to, just like we learned about the Israelites building a stone of memorials. What kind of stones are you building in children's life today? You know, I can't expect this morning everyone to sign up in the fall to volunteer for Awana. I can't expect everyone to sign up for Sunday school next week and Pastor Mark empties to an empty church, preaches to an empty church. I can't expect that. But what I can expect is some baby steps in discipling our kids. Some baby steps that we can all take in showing our kids that we love and care for them. My challenge for you this morning is I'd like you to get to know one child. Get to know their names. Learn their name. Greet them every Sunday and pray for them. I think that would be a huge step into fostering a relationship for them. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for who you are, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are a good, good God, Lord. And we thank you that we can celebrate 35 years of what you've done through this Awana ministry, God. And we pray for another 35 fruitful ministry, God, years, God. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that our church would just embrace the younger generation, Lord, that we would build many stones in people's lives so that we can look back and just remember the goodness that you have done and the faithfulness you have been in our lives, God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Right now, I'm going to invite Pastor Mark up to